won't hurt.
Death will hurt me now.
Because he has redeemed me. No grave will ever keep me from my King. I'm alive, oh my, alive, hallelujah, alive, praise and glory to the Lamb. I'm alive, 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 hallelujah, alive, forever, amen. I'm alive. Worthy of our praise, worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. He's alive, oh, alive, alive, hallelujah, alive, praise and glory to the Lamb.
He's alive,
he's alive,
oh, alive, alive, hallelujah, alive, forever, amen. He's alive, oh, alive, alive, hallelujah, alive, praise and glory to the Lamb. He's alive, oh, alive, alive, hallelujah, alive, forever, amen. He's alive, forever, amen. He's alive, forever,
Revelation 5th chapter says, worthy is a lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.
Worthy is a lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is a lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the mighty King. I'm alive, 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 hallelujah, alive, praise and glory to the Lamb. He's alive, 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 hallelujah, alive, forever, amen. He's alive, oh, alive, alive, hallelujah, alive, praise and glory to the Lamb.
He's alive,
he's alive, oh, alive, alive, hallelujah, alive, forever, amen. He's alive, forever, amen. He's alive.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
If that didn't wake you up, then we'll have them sing a reprise. All right. Well, it's great to see you here this morning. We have a lot going on here in the next week. We have VBS starting tomorrow night. And with that, there's a lot that needs to be done still in preparation. And so immediately following our meeting, we have a business meeting real quick after the service. If you could stay after for an hour or so and help get some decorating done, that would be a huge, huge help. I know Brooke has, she's got the boxes laid out. She has a schedule made up of what needs to be done in decoration. So you can go look at the schedule, pick some things to help decorate, and we can get this done pretty quickly if we have a lot of people that help. So if you'd like to do that, we'd love to have your help after the service. Next week, we have VBS all week. If you've already signed up to help, then we look forward to working with you. If you'd like to help and you haven't signed up, make sure that you see Brooke. I don't know if she'll be out in the Welcome Center. Probably not. She'll probably be all over the building. So look for the busiest person in the building, and you can talk to her. And then next Sunday, our youth group leaves and goes to Kentucky, and they leave at 5 a.m. So keep them in prayer. They're driving down to Kentucky, and it's, Nate, how many do you have going?
Right now, a total of 23.
23 are going, okay? So it's going to be a great week for them. Now, if you have donated shoes, thank you. That's been a huge, huge help. We appreciate you helping donate the shoes. If you still have shoes that you were going to donate for the kids to take down there, Wednesday is the last day that we can accept them because they have to load up the trailer, and we really can't take more stuff after that. So if you didn't bring the shoes in today, have them in by Wednesday so that that can get loaded up as well. Lauren told me this morning that there are 120 pairs of shoes that have been donated so far. So next Sunday after our morning service, we have a crew of people that are getting together, forming a committee to do a joint outreach with Galilee Baptist Church. And so just remember, we will meet after our morning service, talk through our plans, and then we will at 2 o'clock meet them at their building. If you are expecting to get a invitation to collaborate on the Google document, that will take place tomorrow. You will get that invitation. So for those who are part of that outreach team, remember, contribute to the Google document and be ready next Sunday to meet with the church there. I'm really looking forward to that opportunity. The food pantry is open today after the morning service. And so if you need to visit that, that will be open, and Lynn will be helping you through that. And if you haven't signed up yet for August 12th, the outdoor baptism, I'd like to invite you to be part of that. I'm really looking forward to that service. It's going to be a great time. It'll be at Ralph and Susie Balcomas' house, and we'll have food with it, and it'll just be a great time of fellowship. So if you haven't been baptized and would like to participate in that, then please make sure you see me. We have a couple big things going on. We have VBS, and so I'm going to pray for VBS, but I'm asking you to pray for VBS all throughout the week, and especially this morning. And I was going to just spend our time around praying for VBS, but our youth leave at 5 a.m. next Sunday. Usually we pray for them before they head out on their trips, and I doubt many of you are going to get up and meet them here at 5 a.m. So what I'd like to do, I'd like to ask all of those who are going to Kentucky next week, all of our youth and adults that are going to Kentucky, come on up here, and we'd like to pray for you before you head out. All right. Good-looking group, right?
Yeah.
There's a few more that aren't up here right now, but Ray, you belong up here. Come on. Ray's driving, so we really need him to have a lot of prayer. So it's neat how everything has come together. You know, there's a big switch in plans. We did get two vans donated and a trailer donated for our group to use, and so praise the Lord for all of that. So, all right, let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you so much for the opportunities that you place in front of us. And this week, with Vacation Bible School, we have such a neat, unique way to reach out to our community and, Lord, also to build into our own children's lives. And so I pray that you would really put your blessing on this week. Be with Brooke as she oversees all of the chaos and as she organizes it. I just pray, Lord, that you would use her in a mighty way. I pray that you be with Angie as she teaches. Be with Greg Straka as he is a voice for the whole program. I pray, Lord, that you would use them in mighty ways, that as they serve you, that our young people, they would hear the gospel, that those who have never trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that this week would be their week where they come to you. And we just ask, Lord, that you would do incredible things among our adults during that week as well, that our bonds would grow tighter, that our faith would be made stronger, and that as a church, we would just grow more unified because we've served together. And Lord, I pray for these standing up on the stage. I thank you for Nate and his leadership in getting our youth prepared to go and making all the plans. Lord, I thank you how you took what seemed like it was going to be a really big disappointment, and you've turned it around, and I believe you have bigger and better things prepared for these youth as they go to Kentucky instead of Detroit. And I pray for Ray as well, Lord, that you'd give him wisdom as he helps lead the trip as well, that just together that Nate and Ray would help our youth to not only see what they need to be doing in service, but also see what they need to do to grow in their life, grow in their fellowship. And I pray that our youth group would be so much stronger through the interaction that they have with each other. And so, Lord, we know that safety is always a gift from you, and we thank you that we can trust you to get our group down and back. And Lord, give them eyes to see and serve even when they're not asked. Give them words to say, even though they may not be prepared. And as our young people here serve you, I just pray, God, that they would all grow so much this week. And when they get back, that we could hear some incredible testimonies of your greatness. So now, Lord, to you we give all praise and all glory. Everything that we do here, Lord, we want you to receive the accolades and the praise. So through those who get saved at VBS, through those who get saved on this missions trip, Lord, we just want to make sure that you, our great God, the Savior, our King, our Lord, our wonderful Redeemer, our fabulous friend, that you would be made wonderful in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
Good morning, 12th Street. We're going to stay standing. We're going to start with open up the heavens. We want to see you. I hope that your prayer this morning, that as we meet together, that you're going to invite the Lord to meet with us.
We're gathered in your name, calling out to you.
God.
Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now.
Oh! worship you this morning from the inside, not just in words, not plastic smiles that come into church, but Lord, we want to love you sincerely and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we have the ushers come forward?
Be with Pastor Thad as he brings the message to us, Father. And most of all, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to give back a small portion of what you give to us each week, Father. In Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen.
Some of you are getting really worried that I'm going to sing a special. This morning I'm going to read Romans 5 as our special. And soak in the message of what the scriptures say here in Romans chapter 5. So if you could put that up there for me, Cole, thank you. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came upon all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." At this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And as they're heading out, let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 12. I want to say a big thank you to our praise team this morning. Don Lewis messaged me and said that he was ill, so he couldn't make it, and Michael Thompson's out of town, and I tell you what, they don't miss a beat. They just keep on going, and so I want to say thank you to Terry, especially this morning. She likes to be in the background. We made her step up, and thank you, Terry. You did a great job. John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, we have this interesting conversation that Jesus is having with the leaders, not just religious leaders, but also the people that live there in Jerusalem. And he's trying to explain to them who he is. He explains that light comes into the world and that he is the light, but also that he must die. And through his death, he would bring all men to himself. And he did many wonderful miracles, and a whole bunch of great things took place when Jesus was around. But the people always fought against that. So even though he's doing these great things, miracles, and he's teaching things that are brand new to them, he's not teaching them follow the law of Moses for justification. He's showing them that there's a better way, and that's his sacrifice for them. And so while he's doing this teaching, look at verse 42 in John chapter 12. It says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." So there were people that believed in Jesus, but they were afraid to confess it and tell people, "I believe in Jesus," because they get kicked out of the synagogue. And I wonder, in the world that we live in today, how many people are afraid of a confession in Christ because of the backlash that they might receive. And so then in verse 43, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Whose praise are you looking for in your life? Now, when I was younger and had energy and could play football, I really did love to hear the praise, okay? When I would play football, I liked to hear the crowd. And, you know, after I'd stick somebody hard, put them on their back, you know. And you know, one of the greatest sounds in football, if you've never played, you won't know this, it's the sound of the bubbling of snot in the nose from the guy that you hit. When he's just kind of, ooh, all right, it is just a great, great noise. And you have to experience it to know it. And so I would just love to hear that. And then secondly, after you do that, then you get up and then you hear the crowd, okay? Now, the sound of the bubbling of the snot in the nose was better than the sound of the crowd, but loved them both. And I knew all my life that God wanted me to use every situation I was in to bring him glory. And my problem was, I like to receive the praise rather than give the praise. And so my junior year of high school, I'm in a brand new school. Before the season started, the Kalamazoo Gazette had an article and it said, "Stout will save Marcellus football." And I'm like, yeah, that's me. I had it up in my room, you know. I was like, I hadn't even played a down yet for them. I played summer league, but I hadn't even played a real down for them. And in the first half of the second half of the game, early on in the second half, a guy clipped me from behind, blew my knee out. And as soon as he did, I'm laying there on the ground, and I look up and I go, "All right, God, you got my attention." I love the praise of men more than I love your praise, God. You know, there were people in Jesus' day, even though they had the Messiah walking with them, talking with them, healing them, and that they had the creator of the universe right there side by side with them, there were people during Jesus' day that they wanted the praise of the men more than they wanted praise from God. I don't know, that baffles my mind a little bit. That somebody would care more about the praise of men than the one who's right there walking with them, healing their sick, feeding their hungry, raising their dead. And they still wanted the praise of men more than the praise of God. I think this tells us a little bit of something about the human condition, right? Our theme for this year is Game Changer. And we as a church and we as individuals, we need to be game changers. We should change the landscape around us. Young people, that includes Nate and Ray. Last time Ray will ever be included in young people statement. You are game changers this week. And as you go into Kentucky and you have chance to rub shoulders with a whole bunch of new people and minister, don't worry about the praise of men. It'll just distract you from what's important. What you need to think about is the praise of God. When we're doing VBS this week, see, here's the thing, you do VBS. Did you know that? It's work. It's effort. When we work through VBS this week, the goal is not to receive the praise of men. The goal is to receive the praise of God. Look at verse 44 in John 12. Jesus cried. You know, John 11, 35, Jesus wept. And here we see Jesus cry. Now, he cries in two ways. I think he's like disappointed, but he's also responding to what the people's need for the praise of men. He says, "He that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sees me sees him that sent me. I am come a light into the world. Whoever believes on me shall not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak." There's a really important phrase that Jesus uses as he speaks to these people. He says, "You people are rejecting me." We have a lot of conversations in life about different, like, what sport team is better, right? You know, we all know that the Wolverines and the Spartans, everybody has their ideas there. And then the Buckeyes come and beat them both, and then we're all just disappointed because we live in Michigan. Except for the Laytons, they're happy because they're big Buckeye fans. But the rest of us are all disappointed because we live in the state of Michigan. And we have debates about who's better, what's better. Well, here's a debate that takes place about God. And this debate that takes place about God, it's something that's really serious because it goes to the heart of God. There are some people that believe that God has chosen some to die and go to hell. There are people that believe that. They teach that. And they say that God has created some people that when they're born, they have no chance to be saved, that they are born to go to hell. And I think that's just an awful way to view not only God's creation, but God himself. You say, well, if God didn't create people that way, then why are people ever sent to hell? Well, here's the thing about God. When he had his plan of salvation, he sent his son Jesus. He was the light in the world. He shined light into darkness. For the first time, the world had true light shining in it, spiritual light. And the world did not receive that light because they loved their dark deeds rather than they loved the light of Jesus. So God says, so what God did is he created a plan to draw the world to himself. Look in John chapter 12. Look at verse 32. Go back a little bit. In verse 32, Jesus taught the people, he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me." See, here's the truth about God. God desires all people to be saved. He has not created people to die and go to hell. He created people to live with him in heaven. That's why he created us as eternal beings. All right, this is a really deep thought. I know it's Sunday morning, you had July 4th this week. Okay, I was at camp all week. I had a fantastic week, and I'm a little bit tired too, okay, from all the camp activities. So I know a deep thought, but let's get this deep thought here, all right? When God created Adam and Eve, he made them in his likeness. Now, that can mean a lot of things. There's a lot of aspects to it. But you know what one of the greatest aspects to it is? It's that Adam and Eve were created as eternal beings, which is a far cry from the animals. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He didn't do that within the animals. The animals were different. And so man, created in the likeness of God, we were made with a starting point, but to continue to live forever. So Adam and Eve sinned and it brought death into the world. And that death was a physical death and a spiritual death. But the spiritual death doesn't mean that your soul stops living. The spiritual death means that your soul is separated from God. That's spiritual death. So when God made us, he made every single one of us to live with him forever. You say, well, how do you know that? How do you know he didn't create some to be saved and some not to be saved? Well, let's look at a few verses here, and I think these are all going to be up on the screen behind me. 2 Peter 2:1. In 2 Peter 2:1, it says, but there are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Here's the thing, you got people that are false teachers, they're not even believers in the true God, but what did God do? He bought them with the blood of Jesus Christ. And even though they are not part of his kingdom, because they choose not to be, he still bought them. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 3, there's a parable that Jesus tells. And in this parable, the master sends his servants to those who had been invited to this banquet to tell them to come, but the people refused to come. And this is a correlation to heaven. God has sent us into the world to be those who invite others to the banquet in heaven. And you know what people do to us? They refuse. They say, no, I don't want that. Is it because God created them so that they can't be saved? No. It's what they choose. In Matthew 23:37. Do you have that one? Matthew 23:37, yep. It says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. And that's a pretty strong statement that Jesus says. He says, I want to bring you underneath my protection, my care, but you refuse. Then in Acts 7:51, the apostle's preaching and he says, you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. God is calling out to them. He sends his Spirit to bring them to himself in salvation. But what do the people do? They resist him. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In verses 4 through 6, it says, God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. Jesus came to be a ransom for all people. All. In John 12:32, we just saw that verse. Jesus said that he came to be lifted up on the cross so that he could draw all people to himself. In Romans 5:18, I read this during the the offering. It tells us that the free gift came upon all men, all people. The free gift of salvation comes to all people. In Hebrews 2:9, it tells us that Jesus tasted death for everyone. Everyone. And then in 1 John 2:2, it says that he is the propitiation. He is the sacrifice for sins, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. So did Jesus only die for a select few people? No. It's very clear. Jesus died for everybody. All of us. It's his plan for all of us to trust him. In fact, 1 Timothy 4:10 says that he is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. He's the Savior of everybody, especially. Why especially for those people? Because those people have it enacted in their life because they believe. So why is it that there are people that are not saved if he tasted death for everybody, if he desires that everybody is saved, if that's what God wants? Why isn't everyone saved then? Because here's what God does. God says, here's my salvation. It's a gift. I give it to you. And he draws everybody. He lifts the cross up so that all people can see it. And he offers that free gift to everybody. And nobody can come to Jesus unless the Father draws them to Jesus. But he draws everybody. And as he draws everybody to himself, the only thing that we do as humans when we enact our own will. You ever heard the term free will? Okay? Free will is not a positive thing. Did you know that? Free will is not positive. If I exercise my free will, I don't get saved. It's only when I receive the will of God into my life, that's when I get saved. I'm not exercising my own will there. I am receiving the gift of God as he makes his will known to me. So the only act of my own free will that I can have is to reject, to deny, to say no. That's what it is to be human. Think about the very first humans that God made, Adam and Eve. Okay, he puts them in the Garden of Eden, perfect place. Gives them one stinking rule, right? I mean, I look at that and I go, man, I wish I had one rule to live by, right? They had one. Don't eat from this tree. So what do? They eat from the tree. You know what they did? They enacted their will. I want to see what happens. When we enact our will, we reject God. When we lay down our will, he accomplishes his will in us. And when we as people decide that we're going to choose our own paths, do our own thing, and the book of Proverbs, it says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end of those ways is death. So when we enact the will of God in our life and we deny our own will, that is when we see God's goodness in our lives. I used to play basketball on the playground. And there was this little kid, his name was Ryan Dahl. All right, in sixth grade, he still could not hit the rim. He just was really little, and he could barely throw the ball up there. He had a heart condition. And Ryan, he'd always show up to the playground at recess, and we would just pick the first 10 players, five on each side, right? So if you were 11, 12, 13, and you didn't get picked, that meant you didn't get to play. Kind of rude, wasn't it? I mean, I was a kid. I didn't know any better. And so We'd pick teams, and Ryan never got picked if there were more than 10 people there. Because the guy couldn't, the ball was so big, he would like have to dribble with two hands because it was just way too big for him. And I feel bad for Ryan because Ryan never had an opportunity to join in, okay? Salvation is not like Ryan getting picked on a team. That's not how salvation is. Salvation is, God says, I'm opening the court. If you want to come, whosoever will may come. And he lays it out there for us. If I receive the will of God, I say yes. If I reject the will of God, I don't join in. So one day when we were choosing teams, there were like 15 kids there, and I was fortunately one of the people that got to pick. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to pick all the kids that never get to play. So my first pick was Ryan. And everyone was like, what? You can't. You're going to lose. And then I picked another kid. His name was Daniel. He was from Yugoslavia. He had never played basketball before. He barely spoke English. And I picked him. And he was so excited. And they're high-fiving. And they couldn't hit each other's hands. I mean, that was the level of coordination we were dealing with there. And then there's this girl named Mary. She always wanted to come out and play the sports with the boys, but she was a girl, so we never let her. So I picked her. And so all of a sudden, I've got this team of nobody else picks. And we got slaughtered. I don't even think we scored a basket. I let Ryan be the point guard, and that lasted about 2 seconds because it was off his foot every time. We let Mary have the ball. Mary was actually pretty decent, but, you know, she was a girl, so all the boys wanted to make sure she didn't score, you know. It just, at the end of the game, we lost. We just got crushed. And the four people I picked, they came over, and they were jumping up and down. They were excited. And I'm like, why are you so excited? We lost. I wasn't used to losing. And they're like, we actually were chosen. Let me tell you, God's heaven and his kingdom here on earth is not exclusive. And maybe you've never been chosen. This morning, God is letting you know he chooses you. Now, do you accept it? Or do you reject it? So now here's the funny thing. Jesus said that the road to damnation is wide and broad and many find it, right? But the road to heaven is narrow and few find it. Why is that? It's because we want our own will. We don't want God. And so I want to just encourage you this morning. God's will is great for you when it comes to salvation and everything after. God's will is so great. You know, the Lord, before he left, he gave three distinct jobs for the apostles to accomplish through the church. Number one, preach the gospel. Number two, baptize. Number three, disciple. That's what God wants to do. And if we're not involved in any of those three, in any part of that process, then we are enacting our will against God's will. Let's get on the court. Let's be in the game because our God has chosen us. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your word. It's awesome. I thank you, Jesus, that you came to be the light to shine to every man that comes into the world. And that when you were lifted up on the cross, you draw all men unto yourself. And there's not a person here who you do not desire to be saved. Lord, every single one of us are offered this gift of salvation. Help that, Lord, to encourage us. Help us to live for you because of that. And Lord, I just thank you so much that we have so many people in this church that are being obedient to you, saying yes. And I pray for Elise Van Sparentech as she leaves Friday to go to Africa. I pray, Lord, that you would just grant her great strength and give her the ability to really serve you and do the work you want her to in Africa. Lord, how awesome that we have so many people from our church that are out serving you this week, both here and then, Lord, going to other places. And so, Lord, I know that we understand, in a sense, what it's like to say yes. And if there's anybody here that's never said yes to you, they've been enacting their own free will and they've been rejecting the plans you have for them, I pray this morning that they would just simply give their heart to you. And as they do, Lord, I pray that you would change them from the inside out. Use this closing time to help each one of us draw closer to you, to follow your word, and to be obedient to what you say. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we close out the service. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be standing here at the front. Love to talk to you about that. And if you have, you were chosen, right? So celebrate like Ryan and Mary and Daniel and the kids that got chosen, because you are part of God's team. And let's ask God's word to speak to our hearts. Lord, I thank you that as you speak to us, you tell us that we are your chosen, that you have called us to come out of this world and to live in the light of truth. And so, Lord, thank you for that. Lord, there are so many great things that are going to happen in the next couple weeks. We don't want to miss out on a second of your goodness, a second of your glory. So, God, as we live for you, I pray that your truth will reign in our lives, that our spirits would be set for your will. God, we love you. Now to you, who is above all, to the God who chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be after the image and after the glory of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for giving us the peace that passes all understanding. To you be the glory and honor, dominion and power, both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great week. We do have a...